Welcome to the show today. My name's Keith Smith, and I'm an instructor at the Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School of La Mirada. And for the last week and a half, we've been going through Romans chapter 7 with Pastor Brian Parrish, and he's talking about sin and the law. So let's go to Pastor Brian Parrish from Calvary Chapel La Mirada as he starts in verse 8 of chapter 7 of the book of Romans.
But sin comes along, takes opportunity by the commandment, then says, produced in him all manner of evil desire. And what he's talking about here is that when we're told not to do something, we want to do it more, don't we? Don't you hate that even now when someone says you can't do that? That's what Paul was saying. Well, when the law came around, then he had all kinds of desires that seemed to be dormant, and now it's producing in him. It's a sin, not the law. The law was saying don't do that, but now he desired those things. And he began to see how sinful he was. And he's wrestling with this. Now, it's hard to know exactly in the life of history of Paul when this took place. Some say it was on that Damascus road where, you know, he was blinded and for 3 days he had to wrestle with the Lord, praying and seeking God. It seems as if, though, I think if you look at human nature, this degree must have been taking place in his life all along. Because even the most religious, self-righteous individuals have to live with themselves and they know their own sin. They may want to cover it up and look spiritual before other people, but when they're by themselves, they realize, hey, there's evil and wicked things that are there. And the law does bring about some sort of conviction. But ultimately, this came to a head when he was converted. Verse 9, I was alive once without the law. He means alive before God. He thought that he was doing all right. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Again, the full understanding, the true understanding of the commandments. When he saw what God's standard was, he died in the sense there was no hope. Everything I'm holding on to has just been stripped out from me. And now I'm standing here before God, thought I was blameless. Now I see how wicked and evil I am. And the law has the power to do that. So the law is good and holy. Charles Hodges, a theologian, wrote this about the law. It says, it enlightens the conscience and secures its verdict against a multitude of evils which we should not have known otherwise or recognized as sins. It therefore produces a state of mind which is a necessary preparation for the reception of the gospel. And so when the law is understood, it shows your need for a Savior. It's powerful to do that. And that is why the Puritans that we had that founded this country had an emphasis, a strong emphasis in the law in their preaching, because they wanted people to realize their need for Christ. And it brought guilt. And it brought, there's no hope, and I'm violating God's law, and I'm in need of a Savior now. I think there's a truth to that. But also the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. And I've analyzed this in the life of Jesus. When he came across a Pharisee, he laid the law upon him. When he came across someone that was broken, he ministered mercy and grace to him. And I think that's the way we need to handle our witnessing. If someone comes along and says, I'm a righteous person, God wouldn't send me to hell. Read them the law. Read them Matthew 5. Read them about lust in the hearts. And say, are you guilty of that? Have you ever called someone a fool? You stand guilty of hellfire because of that act. And lay it on them thick so that the law could prepare their hearts for the gospel. That's the way I attack it. If someone thinks they're righteous, as that rich young ruler, I've done all these since a youth. Jesus said, okay, you've really loved your neighbor as yourself. Let's put that to the test. Go sell everything you have and everything you have, sell it and give it away. Well, maybe I'm not loving my neighbor as as myself as I need to. And he was busted by the law of God. Woman caught in adultery. He didn't go to the commandment and say, you shouldn't commit adultery. He says, I don't condemn you. You know, where's all your accusers? Go and sin no more. And I think, yes, the law is a place in the preaching, but it's not the only place. You don't just only preach the law. I lived under the law for 19 years. And you know what? For 19 years, my heart was prepared for the gospel, but I never heard it. I knew of my guilt. I knew of my eternal destiny that hopefully I was going to try and avoid somehow. But I knew I was guilty before God for 19 years, and I walked around with that. Every time I tried to go out and sin, I would know what the Bible said, at least what the commandments were, and I knew I was breaking them. So my heart truly was prepared by the law of God, but I should have been told the gospel, the good news, much earlier than that. And I never heard the gospel in church. I heard it outside at a Bible study. And I jumped on it. And it was almost too good to be true that God would accept me, a sinner, on the basis of faith. So the law did its work in me. Definitely brought condemnation. Definitely killed me. Definitely my heart was prepared for the gospel. So here he says, sin revived and I died, or sin in its force and its guilt, I saw what it is and I died. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found it to bring death. So all that he was trusting in was actually, instead of bringing life to him, was actually producing death. He realized that. He came to that point. He was trusting in his goodness. God will accept me. I'll have eternal life. But then when he saw the commandment, his guilt, it produced death. Have you ever read that story, Pilgrim's Progress? If you haven't, or if you have a while ago, read it again. The longer you walk with the Lord, the more profound that book is. He has one part that describes the purpose of the law, where Christian, who's the guy seeking to, you know, find eternal life on the way to the celestial city, comes into this one guy's house called Interpreter's House. And there's a large room there which represents Christian's heart. And he goes in there and there's dust all over the grounds. And that represents sin. And then another guy comes in called Law. And he has a broom and he just starts sweeping. And all this dust fills the room, starts choking the guy. And that's the purpose of the law, to kick up the sin and make us see it, more evidence. It's what it does. And it's a good place that the law has. But it doesn't come and bring transformation of the heart. It just points me for my need for a Savior. And we can't leave people there. I've shared with you before, I did hear someone preach, I don't want to call it the gospel. It was the message of condemnation when I was a teenager at the beach. He preached the law with fire. And I realized what the guy was saying was right, but he looked like an idiot. That's all I could say. He was in a black suit at the beach on Huntington Beach Pier, screaming at the young kids down there having a good time. But he never said, here's the way out. And so I just walked away thinking, well, I already know this. I already know I broke the law, no news. And so it's the gospel that comes along and liberates and frees and brings to life. Verse 11, for sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me and by it killed me. And so I think you can understand that in all that we've been saying here tonight. That sin, my own sin, taking the commandments, brought death to me as I understood the law of God. Therefore, the law is holy. There's nothing wrong with the law. It's like when a criminal breaks the law and he gets sent to prison. We don't blame the law, do we? It's not the law's fault. It's that guy's fault. And so he says, and the commandment is holy because it shows God's perfect standard. And it's just. It's right. God says, you sin, you shall die. That's what the law commands. And it's good. It shows the aim that God does want to bless your life as you obey Him and you follow Him. But the problem is no one's able to do that. No one's able to live up to that standard. So it's not the law, it's our sin. We're the problem. We're weak. But God's going to help us in that process in Romans 8. He's going to give us the Holy Spirit to transform us, to empower us, and to lead us in a life that is, empower us to live a life that's pleasing to Him. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me. And so again, the law comes in and shows how wicked sin is, and it produced death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. And that's what the commandment does. It shows God's perfect standard, and it shows you truly how evil things are. And that's why Paul says, I wouldn't have known sin apart from the law of God. So now what sin is to do, it's like a giant mirror. It says, here's God's perfection. Measure yourself by this. And it shows how wicked sin is. Where we're thinking we're doing pretty good, we measure ourselves by the law, and it's like it nails us. We're busted. We're not doing right before God. We're obnoxious before Him. We're at enmity with Him, said Romans chapter 5. And it wants to squash all the hope that you would ever put or trust in yourself. But it doesn't leave you there. Look over with me at Galatians chapter 3. Once again, a little bit further back. Galatians 3, Paul's going to deal with this, same topic, verse 19. Hopefully, as we're studying through this, you can see now how futile it is to now try and place the law upon believer for righteousness. All it does is manifest our failure, manifest our weakness. Because the law is good, but even with the Holy Spirit, we're not able to live up to its perfect standard. We still fall short. Because the law is a revelation of the nature of God, of His holiness. And even with the power of the Holy Spirit, we're not going to be able to fulfill that. So don't think we're saved by grace and now we somehow try and jump up and fulfill the law now that we have this power. You're going to find yourself back in what Paul's describing here. You're just going to be under guilt and condemnation. So its purpose is to show you and me that we are sinners before God. That's what Paul says in verse 19. Says, what purpose then does the law serve? So that's exactly what he's dealing with in Romans 7. It was added because of transgressions. It was added because of sins. Till the seed should come, and the seed is Jesus here. So it was added until it served the purpose, until Christ would come, whom the promise was made and was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Look at verse 21. Is the law against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. So again, the problem isn't the law, the problem is us. We can't live up to it. So God didn't give the law to produce righteousness. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law. So it was holding us there. It was doing what Paul says in Romans 7, showing us our sinfulness, showing how exceedingly sinful we were. I picked up a commentary that was written in the 1800s, a man by the name of Stifler. And he says this is what the law does, and he gives a good illustration. He says it's like the pool. Like a pool of his heart had looked like a spring of sweet water. The law was a staff that stirred up and showed it to be nothing but mud at the bottom and full of hideous reptiles.